In this segment, we're diving into the fascinating world of music, but not just the kind you tap your feet to. We're going to explore its structure and meaning, like dissecting a beautiful flower to understand its parts and purpose. Think of music as having two faces, a physical one and a meaningful one. Let's begin.
The text we're examining today, titled Two Faces of Music by Ganapathy Narasimhan, lays out this duality quite nicely. Professor Narasimhan is a Sanskrit and Tamil scholar and lives in Melbourne, Australia. He states, "There is more to music than meets the ear." Isn't that intriguing? We will explore what that means today in our discussion. What do you think is meant by this statement?
Exactly. On one hand, we have the physical characteristics. This is the realm of sound waves, frequencies, and amplitudes measured in decibels. It's the science of sound, the measurable aspects of music that a machine could analyze. Think of it as the blueprint of a song. What is a decibel?
On the other hand, we have meaning. This is the subjective, emotional, and cultural aspect of music. It's what makes a song evoke a memory, a feeling, or a sense of connection. It's the art of music, the intangible quality that resonates with us on a personal level. What gives music its meaning, in your opinion?
Precisely. The text emphasizes that these two aspects, the physical and the meaningful, are independent of each other. We can analyze the duration, loudness, and sequence of notes without knowing what that particular sequence means. We don't even need to be musicians to do that. But to grasp the meaning, musical knowledge is essential. Why is this the case?
When we think of it like language, we can analyze the grammatical structure of a sentence without understanding its meaning. However, to truly understand the sentence, we need to know the language and the context in which it's being used. Music is the same. You have to know the language of music to understand the context and the meaning behind it. What is the language of music?
The language of music refers to the elements and principles that govern how music is organized and understood. This includes things like melody, harmony, rhythm, and form, as well as cultural conventions and performance practices. It's the set of rules and expectations that allow us to make sense of musical sounds. Make sense?
The author uses terms from psycholinguistics, the study of how we understand and learn language, to further illustrate this point. He introduces the concepts of surface structure and the embedded, deep structure of meaning. These represent the totality of music, both the form and content.
Exactly. The surface structure represents the physical characteristics of music, the sound patterns, frequencies, and amplitudes. It's what we directly perceive with our ears. The deep structure, on the other hand, represents the meaning, the underlying thought processes, and the emotional content. It's what we interpret and understand. What connects these two structures?
The bridge between the surface and deep structure is called syntax, or the rules of musical grammar. It's the performer's knowledge of these rules that allows them to interpret and deliver musically correct phrases, and it's the listener's awareness of these rules that allows them to acquire meaning from the performance. What happens if someone doesn't know the musical syntax?
That's right. Without an understanding of musical syntax, the listener may only experience the surface structure of the music, the sounds themselves, without grasping the deeper meaning or emotional content. They might appreciate the technical skill of the performer, but they won't fully connect with the music on an emotional or intellectual level. Any questions so far?
The text also touches on the role of anticipation and prediction in music comprehension. It suggests that listening to music is not just about passively receiving sounds. Meaning does not travel from the message to the listener until the listener brings meaning to the message. Music comprehension and appreciation is also about actively predicting what might come next. How does this cognitive prediction work?
Cognitive prediction means the prior elimination of unlikely alternatives in the flow of musical phrases. It's like when you're having a conversation and you can anticipate what the other person is going to say based on the context and their previous statements. In music, we use our knowledge of musical grammar and style to predict the next note or phrase. What happens when those predictions are wrong?
The text gives an example of raga alapana, a traditional form of Indian classical music, to illustrate this point. It describes how a knowledgeable listener can anticipate the next sequence of notes based on their understanding of the raga, or melodic framework. Let's read directly from the text. A well-structured rag alapana of Anand Bhairavi, for example, may be considered. This delectable raga is derived from the Melkarta Natabhairavi. The Aroha-Avroha format of this Jnaniraga is Aroha, ascending scale. Sagarigamapadapasa, Avroha, descending scale. Sanidapa Magarisa, with an occasional prayoga of Antara Gandharam. This raga acquires a rare and short-lived flavor of Riti Golai from the rendering by intellectual stalwarts like GNB or Mahalingam, when a prayoga like Nidama and the occasional phrase Gamapama are intonated subtly. A well-structured raga alapna signifies an ordered musical exercise which might commence at the Adhar Swara, like Sa, and which builds up an edifice by moving successively to higher notes in the Arohana, and frequently looping backwards in the domain of Avarohana.
It means that in a well-structured raga alapana, the musician builds up the melody in a predictable way, moving gradually to higher notes and looping back downwards. This allows the listener to anticipate the direction of the music and to appreciate the skill of the performer in navigating the raga. What is a melodic framework?
Take the phrase that is delivered at time T. Pada, pa, ma, ba, ma, garigas. The listener endowed with sufficient ragyana can legitimately anticipate the following sequence as a follow-up with a probability of 0.8 at time. Gama ri nisa gari gama. But might not anticipate the phrase gama padapasa, nida ma, gama pa gari ga. Intonated with the liberty taken to use the segment nida ma, deleting pa, the phrase would be a special prayoga, giving a subtle flavor of Riti Golai. This is a privilege of the mighty and not of the ordinary mortals. This means that while we can anticipate the general direction of the music, it's not always possible or necessary to predict every single note or phrase. The beauty of improvisation lies in its spontaneity and unpredictability. However, the more knowledgeable we become, the closer our predictions come to certainty. What does this mean for our enjoyment of the music?
The excitement, as the text says, resides only in the unpredictable. The text then sums up this idea by saying that we are usually able to anticipate what phrases the artist is about to intonate because we have the ability to make such predictions based on our musical knowledge and critical listening experience. This leads us to sample the remaining set of alternatives for limited matching. Why is this important for accompanists?
The text uses the example of a violinist accompanying a vocalist to illustrate this point. A skilled accompanist keeps these alternatives in mind while supporting the vocalist, anticipating their next move, and responding accordingly. The text mentions Lalgudi Jayaraman accompanying Madurai Mani Ayyar and GNB. Let's read this quote. While accompanying Madurai Mani Ayyar on a raga alapana of Bhairavi or Kambodi, the superposition of the sounds of the vocal cords and the violin would be on phase. But repeating the exercise with GNB, there would be a perceptible lag in the follow-up. What does this tell us?
This tells us that Madurai Mani Ayyar's performances were more predictable, while GNB's performances were more unpredictable. The violinist could easily anticipate Madurai Mani Ayyar's phrases, resulting in a seamless synchronization of their sounds. However, GNB's improvisations were more spontaneous and unexpected, causing a slight lag in the violinist's response. Is this a good or bad thing?
It's neither good nor bad, necessarily. It simply reflects the different styles and approaches of the two musicians. Some listeners may prefer the predictability and precision of Madurai Mani Ayyar, while others may appreciate the spontaneity and creativity of GNB. The text also mentions Chodeya, who would sometimes be carried away by his own exuberance and go on the lead. What is the risk of doing this?
The risk is that the violinist might misinterpret the vocalist's intentions and play a phrase that is not appropriate for the raga or the context. The text gives an example of Aryakudi Ramanuja Iyengar, who was known for deliberately misleading his accompanists. Let's read from the text. In one concert, Aryakudi was rendering a raga alapana, starting with Madhyamam and progressing towards the upper Shajamam, only without extension to the Rishabha Gandhara domain. The raga flavor could have been that of Pantuvarali, Subha Pantuvarali, or Varali. What was Iyengar doing here?
Iyengar was deliberately creating ambiguity in his performance, making it difficult for the violinist to identify the raga. He was playing with the listener's expectations and challenging them to think critically about the music. Chodeya, thinking that Iyengar was going to elaborate Pantuvarali, took the lead and intonated the Shuddha Rishbham and Antara Gandharam. What happened next?
Iyengar looked at Chaudhya and said softly, I am going to sing Karuna Yelagante. This is a composition of Thyagaraja in the Raga Varali. This anecdote illustrates the importance of understanding the performer's intentions and the potential for ambiguity in musical communication. The text emphasizes that because music is embedded in meaning, and meaning is limited by the purpose and understanding of the performer and the listener, the occurrence of ambiguity in practice is a very rare event, and when it occurs and is detected, it is a cause for amusement. Why is this ambiguity amusing?
The ambiguity is amusing because it highlights the gap between the performer's intentions and the listener's interpretation. It's a reminder that music is not just about the notes themselves, but also about the context, the culture, and the individual experiences that shape our understanding. What does the text say about syntax and semantics? The text states that syntax is concerned with order, while semantics is concerned with meaning. In other words, syntax deals with the rules of musical grammar, while semantics deals with the interpretation and understanding of musical phrases. The text also notes that musicologists assert that our facility in music appreciation is rule-governed, and that the rules are generative. What is generative grammar? Generative grammar is a linguistic theory that attempts to describe the rules that govern the formation of sentences in a language. It proposes that a finite set of rules can be used to generate an infinite number of grammatically correct sentences. The text provides a miniature generative grammar of symmetric and asymmetric pentatonic scales. Let's read this quote. Format, SPS.1, lexicon, A equals S, B equals RR, C equals MM, D equals P, E equals DD, F equals S.2, segments, X1 equals A plus B plus C, Y1 equals D plus E plus F, X2 equals C plus B plus A, Y2 equals F plus E plus D, 0.3 feet. What is this trying to show?
This is a simplified model of how musical scales can be generated using a set of rules and symbols. It shows how different combinations of notes can be created by applying these rules to a basic set of elements. The text goes on to explain that there are 3 bivariants, which lead to a total of 64 musical scales. What is the significance of this model?
The significance of this model is that it demonstrates how music, like language, can be analyzed and understood using a formal system of rules. It suggests that our ability to appreciate and create music is not just a matter of intuition or talent, but also a result of our understanding of these underlying rules. The text then provides a miniature generative grammar of English. Why is this comparison useful? This comparison is useful because it helps to illustrate the similarities and differences between music and language. Both music and language have a syntax, a set of rules that govern their structure. However, the semantics, or meaning, of music is often more ambiguous and subjective than the semantics of language. Let's look at this quote. The teacher chases a dog, nonsense, or the bicycle bites a man. What's the point here? The point is that grammar is not concerned with making sense out of a sentence. A grammatically correct sentence can still be nonsensical. The speaker is responsible for ensuring that the sentence conveys a meaningful message. The text explains that the speaker begins with an embedded structure or thoughts, and the grammar enables him to generate a surface structure for the meaning. How does the listener interpret this? The syntax that determines the structure of a raga must be based not on how swaras can be put together with grammatical rules at the level of surface structure, aroharna, avaroharna, but how musical expressions are related at the deeper level of aesthetic appeal. Under such conditions and constraints, most of the 64 genera ragas would be devoid of musical appeal.